Is it a crisis? Hi, I'm Jarvis Smith, and my new show, Lean Into Clean, will inspire, impress, and inform. What can we all do to clean up our lives so the next generations and, of course, our beautiful planet can thrive? Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural way so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Good afternoon. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is Lean Into Clean on UK Health Radio. I hope you are all having a wonderful Monday. We are right bang in the middle of our summer holidays. I hope you're all having a lovely time. I have been very lucky. I've been able to travel to South America for a project that I'll tell you about shortly. But I was thinking about holidays, and I was thinking about how we can all lean into clean whilst having a holiday. So of course, there's the obvious thing, like if we can cut out flying. But if you have to fly, how are you gonna, if you like, offset those emissions that come with flying? So I've been thinking about this, and at My Green Pod, we talk about this a lot. There are certain things that you can do as a holiday traveler, whether it's with family, whether it's with a loved one, whether it's for business. And there are a few things that you can do. So look, if you can stay in the country that you're in, of course, that's like the number one gift is you can travel locally, staying within the parameters of your own environment, supporting the local communities, supporting our country, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to go abroad and get some sunshine, which we haven't had much of course, this year, then you could look at traveling in alternative ways, taking the train. I mean, there's train lines right across Europe, which is amazing. You could potentially hire an electric vehicle or car share with families. You could get the coach. And if you have to fly, then what would you do if you've had to fly somewhere? So what we try and do as a family is we always try to go to resorts or locations or destinations that are very high sustainable criteria or eco resorts. So there are loads around. There's lots of information about this on mygreenpod.com, which you can find out. If you just go to the website, go to the search bar, tap in sustainable travel or travel, you'll see a subject come up. And there's thousands of stories there about different locations you can go to around the world. The other thing is try, when you do go away, try and support the local community. So if you're, for example, hiring a car, or if you're going to go to restaurants, or if you're going to put your money into something, try and support the non-homogenized brands, try and support the local brands, the local communities, the local people, because then they are actually getting the money from your traveling. And then, of course, you know, if you do need to fly and you do need to go abroad on a long-haul flight, then what we do is we make it, firstly, we don't do it every year. Secondly, if we are going to go, we'll go for at least a month. So if you are going, you're able to go and experience yourself in an environment for a long time, really support the local communities, really engage with, you know, the culture and the love, and just try and give back as much as possible. So without kind of, you know, showing off too much, I'm in Bolivia. And the reason I've come to Bolivia is because I'm actually over here assessing a rainforest project that we are getting involved in. It's a very exciting project. And Bolivia have just announced that they are now Paris agreed carbon credits, which is amazing. So what that means is that the government and the United Nations who govern those carbon credits are committed to protecting nature, to protecting their trees, to protecting their land, to protecting their wildlife. So that's part of the reason why I'm over here, is I'm involved in a project that is on a huge scale, is very, very exciting. And it's supporting an organization called Amazon for Life, which is a Bolivian organization on the ground here that I've partnered up with. We're going to be doing some amazing things. So check out amazonforlife.com. If you want to get behind supporting the rainforest, you know, protecting trees, planting trees, et cetera, you can do that. But one of the things that I did have to do over the last couple of days was travel 20 something kilometers into the dense rainforest. Now, there are certain things that you need to be prepared for when you travel into a rainforest. And one of the biggest ones is the insects. There are insects within these environments that unfortunately want to nibble on our skin and suck out our blood. And today's guest is an absolute expert. In fact, he's probably one of the most important people in the space when it comes to protecting yourself in a non-toxic way against, for example, mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, unfortunately, they do carry various different diseases that can cause extreme disease to humans. So we're going to go into that detail a little bit more. But what I can say is this: I traveled with there were about seven others that went in. The people that were in my car had all put on this particular product that today's guest was the creator of, and none of us experienced any bites or even any bugs landing on us. And those are the three people that were with us. They were literally attacked by flies and bugs, and one of them even got stung by a forest bee, which I don't know if you know, they can be pretty lethal. So I very quickly ran to my backpack, got my stuff out that we're going to talk about today, rubbed it on them, and within seconds they were bug free. I mean, today's guest is not only a legend, he's been a dear friend in my life. Yeah, they were a P Awards winner, the People Environment Achievement winner back in the day, which is how we met. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about today's guest, and then I'll introduce him to the show. So today's guest is Mr. Howard Carter. Now, Howard became one of the UK's foremost insect bite prevention experts after, check this, contracting malaria and dengue in the same year. Now, these are the two things that are serious to our health if we go into the likes of rainforest, but not just that. There, these mosquitoes and bugs carrying malaria and dengue are now in Europe and I think possibly England, but Howard will tell us a bit more about that. So Howard lectures doctors, that must be quite a task, and has coached numerous expeditions, including Royal Geographical ones, along with many celebrities on avoiding bites from insects and ticks. That's another one which is very right, actually, in the rainforest. He is a resource for lessening the spread of mosquito-borne disease for the UK and other governments. Howard oversees all incognito testing. That's the brand, Incognito. Don't forget that name. Testing at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He excelled at biology and chemistry and education in earlier days. Ran a laboratory dealing with quality assurance and quality control. Howard is a master NLP practitioner and studied at the University of London. Now, Howard, welcome to Lean Into Clean. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Jarvis. Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too. I mean, we are, you know, we're pretty kind of old school friends, really, aren't we? Even though we met through business, but is there anything from that bio that my listeners might want to know about you that isn't on there? And you think, oh, I wish I'd added that.
I think the main thing is how I actually, start, or rather why I started the business that, but it's too long to go into in a bio.
Well,
So
let's talk about the why, because you know the why is something that is in today's culture, business culture, seems to be like the thing. Whereas I know you and we at My Green Pod and various other businesses that were really pioneers in this space, we had a why. We had a why. We didn't try to make up a why. We just had one, didn't we? Tell us your why.
Well, my why, I'm going to take one step back because I was in publishing, as you know, advertising and publishing, PR, and I was, using up vast resources of paper in magazines and so on. And, my environmental, I now know my carbon environmental footprint was very heavy. And then I woke up one day in the middle of the night. Oh my God, I can't go on like this. This is not good. I've got four daughters. They presumably will have children in good time, and something needs to be sort of, I need to be more aligned with the planet. So after I contracted the malaria and dengue in 1 year, as it says in the bio, I then had was pretty much out of action work-wise. Certainly my employer wasn't didn't want me to sort of carry on because I was a shadow of my former self for after a year of the of contracting both malaria and dengue. It very takes a big toll on one. So that's how I suppose that's the why environmentally. And I wanted to, I suppose, do something that was positive for people. And that was, so that's how came to start it. But it was looking at the environmental impact, our footprint of the business before we've actually started. We looked, I looked at, I couldn't, I was too early to retire. So I looked at what can I do? And so I got together, I'd already got together an insect repellent I'd made, sort of kitchen sink repellent for myself. And my partner and I, just Trish, decided that's what, that's the business we were going to launch. And I wanted to do it in an ethical way. I wanted to do it in a sustainable way. I wanted it to be, everybody in the company to benefit, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. We're going to get much, much more into that detail, but it does kind of lay there. It lays out our stall for topic of conversation. Let's just talk about purpose for a moment. Look, you contracted dengue and malaria, right? Which are, potentially life-threatening illnesses. Just tell me a little bit about this. Where were you? Had you used protection? And well, what was the situation? And if you don't mind, just tell us what the experience was like.
Well, the first time was India. My first trip to India. I never travelled when I was young, and I was doing a promotion for Raj Villas, the Oberoi family launched this rather sophisticated luxury villas in the middle of a desert. When that, and so I got to go there. I was a guest in Mumbai at their hotel then. It was all very lovely, apart
Very
from,
five star by the sound of things.
sort of 5 star plus. And I got to meet
How,
the.
just for context, how long ago was this, roughly?
This
25,
was in
30 years?
1999.
99, thank you.
Actually, sorry, 1998.
98, okay.
That was so I contracted the malaria in Kochi. I wanted to travel around. Like you said, I knew that I didn't want to go all that way and just sort of go in and out, which is an appalling behavior on my in my opinion, but sometimes necessary. So anyways, there, and I wanted to sort of see a bit of India. So I did from the Raj Villas. I went to all over, went to Perrier National Wildlife Park. Before then, went to Cochin in Kerala, and that's an amazing place, city. And on New Year's Eve there, I was sitting down with my partner Abigail Smith, and at the time, and she started to look at me and in horror, and said. And I thought, what? And she said, your shirt. And I looked down at my white nylon shirt and it was in shreds. I looked like the Incredible Hulk, only without the sort of the muscle to go with it. And
Without
the reason,
the
without the six pack, just the one pack, the
six-pack.
one Indian belly type one pack.
Yeah, I know it well.
So and the reason for that was because I was slathered in 100% DEET, which you could buy in those days, and Or was it 80 or 100? I can't remember the exact. Was the other one, the other time I got contracted dengue was the difference. But it's and I know because it melts plastics. Anyway, the DEET didn't protect me from mosquitoes, the mosquitoes that were there, even though I was lathered in the stuff. So I was we were outside watching Kathakali, this Indian traditional Southern Indian dance. And I was getting my ankles bitten. They were feasting on my ankles. And I then, from being bitten, I then contracted malaria, which, you know, is the biggest killer of on the planet. You know, malaria and dengue, they kill more people than all the wars put together. I mean, it's just, it's horrific. I mean, I don't want to
Do they
sort of,
really? So, wow, I didn't
yeah.
realize that. They're the biggest causes of death on the planet.
Yeah, malaria has killed more people than all the wars put together. Nine popes at least have died from it. I mean, it's
Wow.
just, I mean, every year, you know, half a million, up until recently it was a million, but now it's 650 million people that still are dying from malaria every year, mainly children in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah, well, we well. How quickly did the how did you know you had malaria? So you were there enjoying the night, being bitten. You went to bed, presumably, woke up the next day. When did you start to feel the symptoms?
Well, just, I was on anti-malarials at the time, so and
Yeah.
even though I was advised by a travel doctor, you know, you don't, you know, it's not a high risk area. In fact, it's a low risk area, low risk time of year. But I said no, I want to have the anti-malarials. So, but they don't work 100%, obviously. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got the malaria if I did take them religiously. So, what happened was we then left Kochi and we went on this journey to Perier National Wildlife Park in search of tiger. And we didn't see any tiger, didn't see anything. All I saw was the inside of a bathroom. I was sat on the toilet for like 24 hours in absolute agony.
Oh, good.
And yeah, it was not pretty, not a pretty sight either for young Abby. So, anyway, that was 7, 8 days after the getting bitten, and so that was it's very clear. But I misdiagnosed myself in my delirium, in my fever state. I misdiagnosed going through the Lonely Planet, which I went through all of the diseases, and I had phyllarsis. But it was malaria. I realized on the way back to Mumbai, that's where I had to seek medical attention because it was a bank holiday and the doctors there wouldn't come out even if you're going to die. You know, that's it. As in, they're not going to come out on holiday there. You know,
Well,
it's a long way from anywhere.
let me just stop you there, Howard. We're going to have to cut to a commercial break, which is hopefully everyone will come back to this riveting story in a moment. Just to say a caveat, The Lonely Planet, for those of you that are too young to know what that is, it is the travel book. Back in the day, when anyone traveled anywhere to a foreign country, you'd take a copy of The Lonely Planet with you. Because we didn't have Instagram and, social media and all of that stuff. So that's what we did. So Lonely Planet are still making books today. We actually have a competition on mygreenpod.com for you to win a Lonely Planet book of road trips around Europe. So we'll cut to a commercial break. This is UK Health Radio. We'll see you back here in a minute with Howard.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. This is Jarvis Smith on UK Health Radio on my show, Lean Into Clean. I'm here with Howard Carter, the co-founder, creator of the mosquito and insect repellent Incognito, which is a toxic-free product. And we're going to get into the detail of that. But Howard was just telling us about his first real life situation where he contracted malaria after applying himself with the you know, the standard insect repellent that is sold to us in shops, which is heavily toxic with DEET. Howard, welcome back. I mean, goodness me, first of all, we just ended this on the fact that you were had realized you'd contracted malaria. You were super sick. Tell us just briefly a little bit more about that, and then tell us about the second time. But in between, where was the moment where you thought, oh my God, I need to create the you know, create something that's going to work? So just end that story and tell me a little bit about what triggered you, what sparked you to do what you're doing today.
Well, certainly the seed planted was the disease is where I nearly died. And also the danger to others. I mean, it's terrible, the amount. People are unaware of how much dengue there is at the moment. When we started Incognito, there was a third of the world's population was at risk of contracting dengue fever. When halfway through, about 10 years ago, half the world's population was at risk from dengue fever. So it's growing pretty fast. And then last June, in 2023, I was at the Houses of Parliament, and the director of World Health Organization and various professors and doctors from around the world having a sort of an extraordinary meeting, because dengue is now two-thirds of the world's population. Well over 4 billion people are at risk from contracting it. It is endemic in the tropics where you are, where we are. It's very easy to catch, or to contract, I should say. So this is the vision that I had. I saw that with climate change, there's going to be more insects, there's going to be more mosquitoes, there's going to be more risk. So I wanted to do something for others, for the planet, rather than myself.
No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And just for those of you that are listening, the reason, and correct me if I'm wrong, Howard, here, because I may not be, you're the expert, but the reason why dengue is becoming more prevalent on a wider scale, presumably, is because we are cutting into deeper parts of the natural environment. Is that correct, or is it something a little you know, more
detailed? It's the main driver is warmer temperatures.
It's warmer temperatures. Okay.
Yeah, the hotter it is, the faster mosquitoes can fly until you get to the ceiling. If it's too hot, then you know they don't sort of fly. In fact, if it gets ridiculously hot, nearly all wildlife is affected, including us. As you well know.
So just give us a quick overview about dengue. What is it? We live in England. I mean, obviously, you and I are both abroad at the moment. How close is dengue to the UK? But just tell us what it is, first of all.
But it's very close. And but you said, you know, about becoming, you know, a risk. It's a big problem. It already is become. It has become.
It's become.
Yeah, it's definitely become. I mean, and I have friends who contracted it as well, and they're unaware. Some of them are quite laissez-faire about it, you know. So it's a part of living in the tropics. But like, I've got a good friend who came up with the name and the green square, you know, with the incognito in the middle. He's had dengue a couple of times. He says, and if you get it three times, then or two or three times, every time you get it, you're more at risk from dying. So it's something that is a huge cause for concern right now, which is why you have all of the healthcare professionals in the field doing what they can to make people aware, myself included. The mosquitoes that carry it are the Aedes species. There's two of them. Aedes aegypti, which is the most aggressive, and that's present throughout the world, throughout the tropics, but also coming into other areas. It follows it follows humans into their actual dwellings. It likes to live with humans. So that's another reason. The more the population grows, the more of these mosquitoes there's going to be. And then its sister, Aedes albopictus, the Asian tiger mosquito, that is already in England. That is in it's first identified at the south coast in Kent. I saw one actually in 2010, and that was sort of made not front page news, but created quite a stir. And every year now they've even found them in London. Thankfully, there is no that they're not carrying dengue fever or any of the other diseases that the Aedes species carries, like chikungunya, West Nile virus, yellow fever, etc., etc. But they are, it's just a matter of time before the English ones will carry dengue and maybe some of these other diseases.
I remember traveling to Italy not so long ago, and I'm pretty sure that I saw a big sign saying, "Watch out, there is dengue in this region." And that was, that's not far away, obviously, from the UK. So as you say, it's only a matter of time before. Presumably, how does it work? Somebody contracts dengue, the mosquitoes bite them, then they're carrying the dengue, then they bite somebody else, and then that spreads that dengue to somebody
Yes,
else. That's how it works. Yeah.
I
So
mean,
it's an epidemic.
I was in Rome, as you may recall, for the World Table Tennis Championships last month, and the signs are at the airport, these great big
Yes.
banners,
Yeah, I
beware of
remember
dengue. And I'm sure it's not just Rome. It's because it's throughout the warmer countries in Europe,
Yeah,
throughout
yeah.
and it's a real problem. Both this year already, they fumigated Italy. Sorry, Rome and Paris. The Paris was with the Olympics. They did everything possible, but we still don't know the impact of that. In terms
No.
of England, we bring back more mosquito-borne disease than any other nation. We're at the top of the European league table. Not that we're still in officially in Europe, but we're at the top of the league for mosquito-borne disease, bringing it back in. It's not a great title to have. Ireland's a close second, because and most of it is because Brits and the Irish and Brits are pretty unaware how to protect themselves from mosquitoes. 74% of people of Brits go on holiday, leave the country without any insect repellent. I mean, it's just like crazy. I was with Professor James Logan from the London School of Hygiene Tropical Medicine recently, and we're having a meeting. We were talking about this. This was a study that they did for the bug off their arm, charity arm, and we were just incredulous. Some of the stories that he was that we were recalling. We're actually doing. We're sponsoring or funding another survey at airports that we're going to be carrying out. I think it's this month or next month to see what the figure is now. But I think it's not going to be that much difference. And people think, oh, well, I'll get something locally when I'm abroad. But the quality is nowhere near as good as the UK. The UK is very high in certification, in the good manufacturing practices, and so on. So yeah, this is the world we're living in.
Yeah.
Mosquito, more and more mosquito-borne diseases.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, this is the radio station for health. I want to get more into your products. I want to get more into what the alternatives are and how potentially damaging they can be. Before we do that, Howard, as you know, I always ask all of our guests to come along with a couple of songs that are soundtracks to the climate crisis for you. You've picked two crackers. I saw the list before, but tell us the first song that you have chosen, and then at the end of the song, once we played it to the audience, you can tell me why you chose it. So what song are we going to go with first?
Well, it is. This is the end by the Doors.
This is the end by the Doors. We'll be back shortly. Wow, such a moving classic song you've chosen there, Howard. Thank you. Why did you choose that song? What does it mean to you?
Well, you know, we just heard it talks about all the children are insane, and it is the end. We're on a trajectory of the end of the human race, the way we are going, as you know. It won't happen in our lifetime, probably won't happen in our children's, but it will start to really impact on our children's children. Well, actually our children now, especially, you know, our younger children. And it's sad, yet, and you and I have been doing our utmost sort of to change people's behaviors, and we know that, you know, by telling them, okay, well, don't do this and don't do that, doesn't work. And you know what is, you know, what can we do? But it's such an intractable problem. It's not able to be solved by any sort of one group of people. It needs a collective approach. So that's where we are. I'm trying not to be maudlin. I got very depressed about it in the at the start of halfway through Incognito, just trying to persuade, and people just not interested or caring, and it was affecting my health personally, as you and Janie Lee Grace sort of know. And it's, however, now I'm sort of acceptance, this is where we're at, and I'm not going to, you know, destroy my life, you know, because other people wish to you know, contribute to, or they're not open to helping, you know, move us in the direction that we need to be moving in.
Thank you for that, Howard. Thank you. I can really relate to that. I mean, you know, we've both been pioneers in an industry that is now becoming pretty mainstream, although it's, you know, tiny still, the sustainability movement. But I can remember those days of waking up every morning and reading stuff and hearing stuff and things that most people aren't privy to, because we cared, because we, you know, we wanted a better world for our children. And it's depressing. You have to rise above it, don't you, and just kind of focus on what can I do today to be the change I want to see in the world. And that's where you and I meet, I think, in that heartfelt, loving, purpose-driven space. I'd love to know, and we've only got a minute before we go to commercial break, and so we don't have to end it in this moment. We can come back to it after the break. But I'd love to know, how do you, and I always ask this to people that, you know, guests that have got children, how do you communicate with your kids about this stuff? You know, you've got four girls, did you say?
Yeah, four girls, and the eldest is very aware, involved with activism, with green activism. She was one of the party that occupied the Shell headquarters, covered themselves in oil, Marmite actually, and then got dragged out, you know, from yeah, and many other projects she's sort of involved with. I've taken her along to Greenpeace, so the headquarters, met the John Savan and the new people, I hope to, the new directors of Greenpeace, I hope to introduce her to. And that's all you could do, is offer, just give them that the information in an honest and caring way. And without sort of, I mean, it's impossible not to scare children nowadays. So, but rather than completely hide it, I think, feel that, you know, as a parent, I need to be honest. My Patricia would maybe disagree with me with that. Don't tell the, you know, keep it from the children as long as possible, so they can, you know, really enjoy their childhood. So, yeah, but whichever way you look at it, it's going to affect our children big time.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. And I think all of our listeners will absolutely relate to that. We're going to cut to our commercial break. We'll see you back here in a moment. I'm here with Howard Carter from Incognito.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is our show, Lean Into Clean, on UK Health Radio. I'm here with Howard Carter, who's been very, very kindly telling us about his, you know, rather traumatic experiences of contracting malaria and dengue at two different stages in his life, going away and creating a product. Howard, I want to get into the product now. I want to get into Incognito, the brand. I want to get into, not necessarily the secret formula, but I want to get into the formulas and how they work. Tell me a little bit, which we haven't gone into detail, about what, you know, how did you go about creating your own concoction? Like, what was stimulated in your mind that made you want to go away and try and create something that was A, healthier, B, more importantly, worked, and C, could be mass marketed?
Well, I've already told you about the seed when I contracted those two life-threatening diseases in the same year, in fact, 6 months after the one another. So I went around the world to, because I didn't do the traveling, in search of all the ingredients I wanted it to be natural, and to put something together. So talk to doctors, nurses, shamans, whoever, you know, about repellents, what they use naturally that could protect. And then I sort of put it all together in the kitchen sink, initially for myself and my family. And then it was brought to market, as that was my purpose. And that is my purpose, it seems. You know, here I was sort of happily sort of semi-retired at a nice young age, so I could do the traveling that I didn't do, because I worked my ass off in my teens, you know, when I left, when I left education. So it's, yeah, that's how it was. Has that answered your question?
Yeah, it has. So you went away, you did your research, you spoke to shamans and doctors and locals and communities and found out what they were using. And then you made your first batch for family and, you know, family and friends. How did it develop into the, you know, the huge natural insect repellent business that it is today?
Well, the business in those days, I mean, first of all, I had to test it that it worked. But in those days, natural was like a dirty word in insect repellent. It was sort of like a special needs case in the
Well, you're fighting against those companies that are pushing this toxic, you know, toxic ingredient as well, aren't you?
Yeah, I do have to say, as a caveat, you know, DEET does, you know, it does work, it does protect you, but it's also it's a neurotoxin. It's a registered pesticide, and it does kill aquatic wildlife. So it takes decades to decompose. So that's where we sort of ended up with. What's the next step? I lost my
thread. No, not at all. I want to talk about, so you started, you know, how did you start Incognito? So you made this product, you realized that it was...
Tested it, yeah.
You realized that it worked on you and your family. What were the next steps to develop it into a brand and into a into a mainstream brand now?
Well, that was the goal then, and it had to be tested. And it was tested by London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, the number one testing facility in the world, by the then head vector control, Dr. Nigel Hill, and he gave me a lot of time, information. The first batch, you know, was didn't contain PMD. The PMD hadn't been invented then.
What's PMD?
It's essentially oil of eucalyptus, but maculata, citradora, maculata. But those, it keeps on getting called different things. It's terribly hard to keep up with the nomenclature. But PMD is what it's known as. But it's natural. That's the. Yep. It can be synthesized, but it's not as good as the natural version. And we use the purest form of PMD. in Citrapel 75 in all of our biocidal products. They're classified as biocidal, even though they don't kill anything. But that's the EU biocides law that comes from. The reason it doesn't kill him, how it works is it camouflages, stops the mosquitoes and other insects and ticks from detecting you. They cannot see you. They're with their limited eyesight, and well, I say eyesight, their senses. It completely covers. It's like Harry Potter's invisibility cloak. Once you're wearing it, if you put it on properly and you haven't, then they cannot detect you. Unless you go and start wearing perfumes and using lots of scented toiletries and so on, in which case, bits start appearing in the invisibility cloak, and the mosquito little holes, and the mosquitoes will be in there like flint.
Hence the name incognito. So it literally makes you kind of disappear, makes you not
That's
be able to be
correct.
seen.
Yeah.
I can absolutely testify firsthand just a few days ago to this being absolutely true. As I said, we were deep in the rainforest, 20 kilometers in, and people were being attacked left, right, and center. And as soon as they plastered themselves in a, a little tub of incognito that I carried with me, none of them got challenged at all by any insects. So, firsthand raw evidence. How do people, where does the product sell, Howard? I mean, it's in mainstream shops, right? But you just tell us where people can get it. And just a side caveat here, you can go to mygreenpod.com, and there's lots of information about incognito on the site. But where would people buy it?
Well, you mentioned site. Our site is lessmosquito.com, or my blog avoidingbites.com. But mainstream retailers is Boots. It's probably the largest
Biggest
seller.
pharmacy on in the country. It's in Boots.
Yes, if not, yes, in Boots. In fact, yeah, it's in Holland and Barrett. It's in we when we launched, we wanted to be in all of the ethical retailers, as ethical as possible. So we went into Waitrose and Holland and Barrett were our first, and then followed by Sainsbury's and Boots and even Tesco. We're in now, and all of these, or not all of them, but some of them never sold any natural insect repellent because of this poor image that natural had. So it's a huge battle for us to change people's opinions, to educate people. Well, actually, there is a natural way of giving you 100% protection if you used it properly. And there it is. But you can use this, or you can use DEET. It's up to you. But the thing is with DEET now is that there's clinical evidence that it isn't working anywhere near as strong. It's been around for over 70 years. It's not working as strong as it used to. So more and more people are getting bitten by mosquitoes that have built up resistance to it. It's also in like lots. So I want to give a shout out to all the independent chemists and health food shops. We launched in health shops, and that's how I think we may have connected in the first place. All those little, I mean, Planet, and they're not so little now, likes of Whole Food, Planet Organic, but all the little. I don't want to sort of name one and not sort of others, but there are so many of them. Most of the people are passionate about, launching the or running these businesses.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And just for those of you that are listening, the health food stores, there's about 600 and something of them across the country. They're on most high streets in most towns, small towns and bigger cities. And they're the shops that sell the kind of whole foods and the natural products. So do look out for incognito, especially if you're going on holiday or you're going to be outside. We've noticed,
Sorry, can I
Howard.
interject?
Please, please.
I want to interject there. Well, I remember that the health food, the independent health food shops, we've got quite a long tail now. Well, we've got 15 different products, but some of them, it's only the biocidal range is in the supermarkets, with a couple of exceptions like the Zappies. Takes away the urge to itch and scratch if you haven't put on
They're
incognito.
amazing, by the way. It's a little electric shock, isn't it, to take the stick, take
It's a
the itchiness out of a
tiny,
bite.
yes, It's a tiny thing that relieves the urge to itch and scratch. But if you're looking at some of the soaps, we have these luxury soap. We have a loofah soap, and that you'll find those in those types of products that you will find in health food shop, or they can order them from their suppliers like Health Store, CLF, and others that distribute these to these great
Yeah, amazing.
sort of, yeah, retailers.
Amazing. I think the best thing is go to lessmosquito.com. Is that right? That's your site where people can
That's
buy all
our
the
site. There's a
products.
lot of information there. There's a lot of how to, like, I've come up with cloaks. It's important, especially if you're going to the tropics, that you are aware of cloaks. You know, what does it do? It's all not all our sites. I think it's on My Green Pod as well. You know,
Yeah,
how
it is.
to, yeah. So that's, and we need to be doing this. All of us need to be protecting ourselves now, you know, from, yeah.
Amazing, Howard. Thank you ever so much. We're at the end of our show. I do want to get your last song in. What we'll do is we'll play the song and we'll play it out and we'll go to the end. We'll run to the end of the show. So we'll say goodbye to you, Howard. Thank you very, very much for joining us. For those that are listening in, lessmosquito.com. I can absolutely give wholehearted testament to the products. We've used the shampoos, the soaps, the sun cream. We've just lathered ourselves in all kinds of incognito products because they work. They absolutely work. They're natural. They're not going to do any damage. I've used them on my kids since they were born. They are absolutely brilliant. Howard, tell us about the next song you're going to play and why you chose it. We'll play the song and that'll be the end of our show with you. Thank you very much.
I chose Bittersweet Symphony because that's what this life is, you know, and it's the same with the environmental movement. You know, I've got to meet the king and the queen and people I would never have met if I wasn't involved with sustainable development and, you know, helping and helping the planet, rather being a part of the solution rather than the problem. So that's the sweet. The bitterness, I'm not going to say any more about the bitterness because we all
We
know
all know the bitterness,
what life's struggles and so on. But it's a great tune, and there's a friend of mine in the video, Katie, dancer Katie. If you listen to this or you see the video, you'll see her getting pushed out of the way to the guy going down the street. Yeah, so it's a good track. It's a great track.
Howard, thank you so much for joining us. You've been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I look forward to seeing you back in the UK when we're both back. This is Bitter Sweet Symphony, Howard Carter's last song. Howard, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks.